Right now, it is time for the Berkshire Edge On Air, where we bring in Marcy and Dave, and we take a look at some of the stories that we're following on the Berkshire Edge and berkshireedge.com. Good morning, Marcy and Dave.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. That was quite an eloquent message.
That was a
concession.
Very lovely.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Was he a Republican or a Democrat?
He's a Republican, but you know, if you look at him and you didn't know, you would know he's Republican. He's not one of those outstanding guys. He gets along well with the Republicans and Democrats, and
right.
people just look at him as Brian and Maria.
Yeah, people grew up with him.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
this is something that gets lost in the whole national aspect of it. Have to do it from, you know, these are people from your community.
Yeah, right.
And then it's a party thing, and then it's a political thing.
Yeah,
but the
hurt of losing that sting goes away, and he's the type of person that will serve our community. And then when he has the next chance to run for something, he will. But he'll continue to serve our community. So. That was nice. What's going on to you? Because we had three in the three state region we cover. There was three pretty big election events, and the one in your neck of the woods was Elizabeth Harrington.
Actually,
Andrea Harrington.
Andrea.
I kept saying Elizabeth. I think I was thinking of Elizabeth Warren. But no. In the copy and in the cut lines for the photos, it's Andrea Harrington. But yes, she apparently won the race to become the next district attorney in Berkshire County. It was quite a contentious race, and I hear that Paul Cacciavillo, her opponent, and the heir apparent in this case, has refused to concede concede. So. That's what I heard this morning. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, that's a little different from the Brian Oller letter.
The thing is that it was a write-in vote. You know, she had beat him in the primary.
Yeah.
Much to everyone's surprise. He decided to run a write-in campaign in the general. It looks like she won by a margin of 3-1. So I don't know, you know, unless he wants a recount of all those votes, I don't know how he could, you know, 3-1 is a pretty hefty margin. It's not like she squeaks through. So
in this case, I think we've talked a little bit about this campaign and this particular race, but, you know, District Attorney David Capeless had resigned early in order to appoint his close aide and assistant, Paul Cacciavillo, as acting district attorney, so that when the election came along, he would be an incumbent rather than just another candidate. And people really reacted, I think, badly to that manipulation. And I think what's one of the interesting things about Andrea Harrington's apparent victory is this goes to shine a light again on a network of women in the Berkshires who are very politically astute and able to mobilize voters and support candidates. Linda Tyer, elected mayor in Pittsfield, and they have done, over the years, I've witnessed them, once they get organized, they are formidable, political machine. It's quite remarkable.
And she also had, she was of counsel recently at a law firm in Springfield, which is quite a political law firm, I understand, and had money behind her as well. So they are. I mean, she ran a very strong campaign, I must say.
Yeah.
And she managed to get at the end, you know, endorsements of almost everybody Even though, you know, there was a question, I mean, and the only reason that people seem surprised is that there really was question about her experience. She's had really very little legal experience, and so the, you know, the hesitation on the part of a lot of people was whether she was qualified for the office. But on the other hand, she came out as a real progressive, and that was really, that's what appealed to the voters in Berkshire County. So it's going to be a very different DA's office.
We'll see. She has the old boys are still.
They didn't drink hemlock.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, people.
But you know, she's part of a wave of women nationwide who apparently have made history. Actually, right. I think there are more women now elected to Congress than ever before.
I would think, though. I would think her being elected district attorney, though. I think the if they want to stay happy and have a nice job, the old boys will come around.
Oh, they will. Of course.
Well, yeah, and we'll again, see. You know, it's
pretty tough. Yeah. You know, I think she's scrappy, and I think she'll hold her own.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think she's strong enough, more than strong enough, to do what she's just done, to hold her own in there and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the question really is whether she can provide adequate legal direction.
Yeah. Well,
but
there's...
she will certainly, hold, you know, she's... Certainly
that, will be, that will be discovered along the way.
That will be discovered, and she'll, hopefully she'll get the right people.
All right. Now, I want to go to the third big event, which actually covers both our regions, and that is John Faso going down to defeat Antonio Delgado. It's truly amazing because it wasn't a blue wave this year. It's more like a blue. I won't call it a wave. A little tide.
No, it was a blue ripple.
Yeah, ripple. That's, there you go. A blue ripple. And so he didn't benefit from things like that. But he did do a great job. And Democrats, as a matter of fact, in New York State as a whole, did pretty good upstate.
Yeah, it was really interesting, this race, because Faso, you know, some of his campaign materials were really quite racist, you know, because Antonio Delgado is an African American, and he's...
And Latino.
And
also.
Latino, and Faso campaigned on the fact that he once sang rap music, you know, as if that were a kiss of death. Versus, it was interesting. And the signs that were posted along roads, and we had one time we had a picture of one of them, were quite racist signs against Delgado. But apparently, you know, he prevailed, and it's remarkable. It was one of the happier notes of this election season, I think.
And he's quite impressive, Delgado. Yeah. I went to a meeting with him, and you know, he's not exactly a guy from the projects, because his father, I think, worked at GE, and his mother was a school teacher. But you know, he was a black kid from the wrong side of the tracks, and he managed to get himself into Harvard Law School, and he's been working for, you know, quite a prestigious firm in Washington. He's from Poughkeepsie, and his wife is from Poughkeepsie, and so they are, you know, they are from the district, although he's been away. And Delgado, of course, tried to brand him as an outsider. Faso tried to brand him as an outsider as well. But, you know, he is a charming guy. I mean, very elegant. I mean, almost, you know, when I saw him, it was almost like a young Barack Obama. I mean, very tall, elegant, wears his clothes beautifully, you know, slim and athletic. I mean, I know those aren't the things.
Really? This is how we vote for people, right?
It certainly helps.
No. But, you know, he is, you know, somebody who, you know, kind of commands authority. He seems self-confident and bright. So we'll see. I'm sure that there is a large portion of that district that is very disappointed and unhappy.
Yeah, well, Columbia County, that district is huge. It's just that it's bigger than, the state of Rhode Island. And it's just, it's a very district, and it's very conservative pockets and it's liberal pockets. And it was interesting. I think one of the things that Faso did that really aggravated his campaign was that he voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And there were several meetings in which he met with constituents in which people who were relying on affordable health care appeared at his rallies and were quite effective in opposing his candidacy. And so I think that had a big effect on the voters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a major issue.
Yeah, I think that was a major issue for him.
All right. Well,
anyway.
And I think it was funny where, as one of his fellow Democrats, Gareth Rhodes, said, that this Democratic, it was time to repeal and replace John Faso, which is what, the people said. It was a play on the...
On the words repeal and replace Obamacare.
Yes, to repeal and replace Obamacare. So, anyways, that was an interesting, in this whole national scheme of things, that was an interesting race right there.
Yeah. Now, also, Elizabeth Warren won, and Neil and the governor won, but the ballot question, we had two ballot questions in Connecticut that both passed. You had a very important...
Did we know the ballot question, David?
Yeah. Well, we had one.
Yeah.
There were several that were really interesting, but one was the question one was about mandating the ratio of nurses to
patients,
and that failed. The nurses' unions had, strongly advocated that they needed patients needed protection from, the draconian staff cuts that hospitals could impose, and voters turned that down, and they, I think, for a number here in Berkshire County, I think, for instance, people are proud of their hospitals, and they were probably alarmed that they would of the financial burden that such a state mandated measure would impose on the hospitals. So it was interesting that went down. And the other one was a question three, which had to do with guaranteeing the rights of transgender individuals. And that passed as well.
And that was actually, that's a bill that had passed. I mean, that was a law, and there was an effort to retract it.
Yep.
So the voters reaffirmed it.
Reaffirmed question three, the rights of transgender individuals.
And then there was another bill. Do you know what? I don't know what the. There was another bill authorizing the state of Massachusetts to form a commission to try to overturn the Citizens United decision. To come up with legislation that would. That would deny corporations the same rights as individuals. Do we know what happened there?
I don't.
No, we don't yet.
All right.
But that's also, this has to be done on a state-by-state basis. If it requires a new amendment to the Constitution, I guess, because it was...
Yeah, you need a certain amount of states that go along.
Yeah, you need two-thirds, isn't it?
Well,
I don't know if this is happening in other states, but certainly, there was an effort in Massachusetts to go against the Citizens United decision.
All right, let's move on to the story about state aid for rural schools.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting that was an interesting development. What happened is that State Senator Adam Hines managed to get through our state senator a measure that would allow, that would offer greater funding for rural schools that often face budgetary problems of trying to in transportation and other issues that would that hamper the educational efforts of these small rural schools, and he got some more money for them. And I thought that was a that was a real victory for us, because our Berkshire County is has a number of those little rural school districts, and so this was a big benefit for them.
And good for Adam Hines.
Yeah, good for Adam Hines.
Who was just reelected for a second term.
But, oh, by the way, yes, he was just reelected.
Yeah. I mean, he's our state rep to Massachusetts, to Boston.
He's your link to the hub. That's right.
Well, he is to the hub, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know whether your readers or your listeners understand this, but we in Berkshire County are really feel ignored by Boston.
Oh well, it's not only understood. Most people in Connecticut really think that Connecticut ends at Torrington, and that the rest anything after Torrington is they think anything after Torrington is part of New York State. And the folks in Eastern New York, the problem they have is everybody there thinks that New York State ends in the Poughkeepsie Kingston line where the Hudson River is.
Hey, wait a minute, I have an idea.
That's right.
Why don't
you guys secede from Connecticut and join Massachusetts, join the Berkshires?
Because it'll take too long. It will take too long.
Yeah, it would.
We have to start somewhere.
That's right. Now, I want to get to this final story because it's important.
Yeah.
It's funny. My trainer Avi Dresner is from up in your neck of the woods, and we talked a little bit about the Tree of Life Synagogue. What happened with the interfaith vigil that happened in Pittsfield? More than 1,000 people showed up.
Yeah,
well, they couldn't
really
all get in. Actually,
they could,
there were about 250 people that couldn't fit into the room at Knesset Israel, which is a very large room. We were there.
Yeah.
And so they took to the park nearby and had their own vigil.
Yeah, it was astonishing how many people showed up to bear witness to the tragedy.
And Terry Cowgill, our reporter, taped the whole thing, and we put the tape on the edge.
Yeah, you can listen to the program.
So you can
to the
watch
whole program.
The whole thing, and it was really very moving.
It was interesting because it was an all faith ceremony, an event, and there was an imam, a Muslim imam from Williams College, actually, who delivered some really moving remarks and grief for what had happened, in Pittsburgh. So it was a wonderful event. Actually.
Yeah, people and the clergy who officiated. I mean, and there were a number of rabbis. There were a number of ministers from both the black and white community. There was this imam, and then several times during the service, the clergy would recommend that people put their arms around the people next to them. And so there was a great feeling of fellowship in the crowd.
Yeah.
People were holding each other and introducing themselves to people they didn't know. And I mean, I found it extremely moving. I think everybody did. And when it ended, people kind of just stood there and, for a while, and felt like they wanted to be part of this community a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, we don't have to use the term midterms anymore. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore.
Well,
so next week we can get back to more news that you can chew on.
Well, you know what? We could worry about the 2020 election.
No. How about a little bit of a productive local?
Listen, I'm a nonviolent person, and I believe in gun control. But if you bring up the 2020 election again, I'll come up to Berkshire County and I'll start looking for you.
Yeah, I mean, let's at least give this a little bit of time to function and produce.
How much time will you give us?
Well, I can't give you any time because I already have my Bernie sticker on the back of my car.
Yeah, but now at least you can park the right way. Time. Just let's give it a couple weeks and let people go to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll avoid national politics for a couple of hours.
All right. That sounds good.
Good luck with that.
All right,
well,
guys.
All these local races. I mean, the thing is though, that these local races were all national politics.
Yeah,
they want to think them as local, but
no. But hey,
you know who wasn't on the ballot was the. The main issue.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. All politics are local, but it comes right down to that. All right, well, we will speak to you guys next week.
All right.
Take
nice
care.
To talk to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That is this week, the Berkshire Edge on air. And, of course, you can find them at berkshireedge.com.